This is Rain Hamcast number 39, posted April 17th, 2021. I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY. Back in January, the St. Louis and Suburban Radio Club sponsored Winterfest 2021, which featured 7 audio-video forums posted on YouTube. In February, we excerpted from one of those forums given by Matt Heer, N3NWV, on POTA, the Parks on the Air program. For the next 2 Rain Classic Hamcasts, we'll excerpt from another Winterfest 2021 forum, this one about amateur radio satellite basics, given by Sean Kutzko, KX9X, from Urbana, Illinois. Borrowing from the verbal introduction to Sean's talk, he spent 12 years working at the ARRL headquarters as contest branch manager and media and public relations manager. Sean's background includes HF contesting and DXing in the 1980s, 6 meters and VHF weak signal work in the mid-90s, backpack and QRP in 2008, and satellites in 2011. The subject of this talk is amateur radio satellite basics. Here's our first excerpt.
Right now, there are about 25 different satellites that you can actually make contacts through. Most of the satellites that are in orbit today are what are known as CubeSats. They're small 10-centimeter cubes that have a small vertical antenna sticking out of one side of them. These satellites that are currently in orbit are known as low Earth orbit satellites. They're about 500 or 600 kilometers above the surface of the Earth. They're moving at about 17,000 miles an hour. They pass overhead about 6 times a day in groups of 3 that are about 12 hours apart. So you'll get 3 passes in the morning, for example, and then 3 passes again about 12 hours later. Each satellite pass is more or less about 10 to 15 minutes in length. There are a couple of terms that are very important to know when dealing with satellite passes. One is called AOS, or acquisition of signal. That is when the satellite first comes up over your local horizon. And then there is LOS, or loss of signal, which is when the satellite disappears below your horizon at the end of a pass. Most of the satellites that we're talking about today use a combination of 2 meters and 70 centimeters. You will either transmit up to the satellite, which is known as the uplink to the satellite, on one of those bands, and then you will receive the audio from the satellite or the downlink on the other. As an example, the AO91 satellite has a 70 centimeter uplink to it. So you transmit on 70 centimeters and then you receive the audio from the satellite on 2 meters. Most of the satellites that are in orbit right now use around a watt of power or less. Some use between 300 and 500 milliwatts of power. That doesn't sound like a lot of power, but because these are VHF, UHF frequencies and the satellite is overhead, technically it is a line of sight communication. So if the path is clear, 300 to 500 milliwatts of power is more than adequate for satellite communications. In fact, as a satellite operator on the ground, a station of 5 watts with a gain antenna is a remarkably good station for operating satellites. Why do you want to work satellites? Why would you want to incorporate this aspect of amateur radio into your enjoyment of the hobby? Several reasons. The first of which is it's extremely accessible. The satellites are available to all license classes that are currently in existence. There may be an odd novice out there still remaining that doesn't have access to these satellites. But if you're a technician class licensee or up, you have full access to the satellites that are available on 70 centimeters and 2 meters. Satellites are extremely reliable forms of communication. They are unaffected by terrestrial propagation fluctuations. So if there's a big solar flare that wipes out the HF bands, satellite passes will still continue unabated. Satellite passes are not affected by solar flares or other propagation anomalies like the HF bands are. The passes are extremely predictable. We can predict when satellites are going to be overhead months in advance, weeks in advance. So if you are a busy person and you're trying to find a way to fit amateur radio into your busy work and family schedule, satellite passes might be able to give you more operating time because you know exactly when a 15-minute pass is going to occur, and you can put that in your schedule rather easily. It offers a diverse way of communicating. You can use any form of communication in other forms of the hobby that you enjoy on satellites. So if you prefer FM voice, you can do sideband or CW, and there are even some satellites where you can do some digital communication modes as well. Satellite operating, the gear is extremely compact and portable. Some of the satellites that we're going to be talking about today can be worked with little more than a handheld and a handheld dual band Yagi antenna. It's extremely easy to take with you on vacations or business trips. If you travel for business and you're looking for something to do in your downtime, you can do that as well. Or you can even set out on dedicated satellite expeditions called roving, which we will get into in just a little while. And it's an extremely satisfying part of our hobby. There are plenty of technical challenges to conquer involving satellite communications. All of the awards that you're used to in other forms of amateur radio, such as the Wortdahl States Award or the VUCC Award for working grid squares, all of those are available on satellite as well. The satellite community is an extremely tight-knit group and very friendly and welcoming towards newcomers. So you can make a lot of lifelong friends in the satellite community. So what exactly can you work while doing satellite communications? It's important to understand that each satellite has something called a footprint. And the footprint is basically the area of coverage for a satellite. Anybody who is within that circle of the satellite's footprint can use that satellite. Now, because the satellite is moving, in this case, the satellite is moving from Central America heading north over the United States, the stations that are in the footprint is constantly changing. So stations that are available right now in this graphic, for example, in South America, as the satellite moves to the north, they will drop out of the footprint and other stations that are in the United States will come into the footprint. So stations that you hear at the beginning of a satellite pass may drift out of the coverage area of the satellite by the end of a pass for you. It's always an adventure to hear what stations you will hear at the beginning of a pass compared to the end of the pass as the satellite moves overhead. It is possible from the Midwest of the United States to work all 50 states via the low Earth orbit satellites. I just completed that feat myself. Alaska and Hawaii were the last two states that I worked via satellite to complete Wortdahl States. Wortdahl States is very attainable from the Midwest. It's not just stateside stations that you can communicate with. You can actually make several DX contacts as well. Based in the Midwest of the United States, Central and South America is very common. You can hear Central and South American stations on almost every satellite pass that comes over the United States. Europe is a possibility if you are a little bit more to the east. Here in the Midwest, we do have some opportunities for Europe on an almost daily basis. It is possible mathematically to work the DXCC award if you have good coverage to Europe. There are about 160 different DXCC countries that are possible via satellite from the east coast of the United States.
You're listening to a virtual forum presentation covering amateur radio satellite basics, delivered by Sean Kutzko, KX9X, at part of the St. Louis and Suburban Radio Club Winterfest 2021, held back in January 2021. We'll conclude our first excerpt from Sean's talk in a moment. This is the Rain Classic Hamcast. I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Classic Rain from www.therainreport.com.
The question is whether or not there are going to be stations available in some of those countries to work via satellite. As an example, in the Caribbean, there are plenty of DXCC entities in the Caribbean, and most of them are very common on the HF bands. But even those common DXCC entities on the HF bands, there aren't any satellite operators in those locales. So even very common countries in the Caribbean can be quite rare on satellite. The satellite community is reaching out to stations that go down to the Caribbean for a contest expedition, for example, or possibly a de-expedition to some of the rarer locales in the Caribbean and South America and see if they can take satellite gear along to activate those countries on satellite. But there is plenty of DX to work as well as all 50 states. The other unit that is very common is the Maidenhead Grid Square. If you are not familiar with grid squares, that is the common unit of geography that is exchanged on the VHF-UHF bands. A grid square is 2 degrees of longitude wide by 1 degree of latitude tall. It's roughly 70 by 100 miles or so. And there are about 36,000 grid squares covering the entire planet. And there are about 488 grid squares in the 48 contiguous United States. There is an award that is available called the Gridmaster Award for working and confirming all 488 grid squares in the 48 contiguous states via satellite. There are about 30 hams that have completed that so far. We're going to be talking about two basic types of satellites today. The first is FM and the second is linear. FM satellites function very much like an orbiting repeater. They are a single channel device, so that means that only one station can make it into the satellite and use it at a time. The capture effect is in play for FM satellites, so basically the loudest signal that the satellite receiver picks up is the signal that it's going to retransmit on its downlink. Some examples of FM satellites that are currently available are PO-101, AO-27, which was not functioning for several years and just got brought back to life by the engineers who wrote the code for it, and the SO-50 satellite, which was launched by the Saudis about 21 or 22 years ago, and it's still putting right along and doing just fine. The other satellite types that we're going to be talking about are linear satellites. Now, linear satellites use sideband and CW, and rather than a repeater on board, the linear satellites have a device called a transponder. And a transponder provides approximately 20 to 60 kilohertz of bandwidth that you can tune through just like an HF band. So the transponder allows multiple contacts to be going on simultaneously, just like on HF. Examples of some of those satellites are the RS-44 satellite, which was just launched a couple of years ago. And then the Chinese have two groups of satellites called CAS-4A and 4B. And then there are a series of Chinese satellites called the XW series. All of those are very, very loud satellites and very easy to use. So what kind of gear do you need in order to get started? Well, you need to have a radio that can do 2 meters and 70 centimeters. This can be a dedicated satellite radio, such as the ICOM 9700 or the Yaesu 847 or the Kenwood TS-2000. It could be two separate radios. Some of them that you can use could be two separate HTs. There are some HTs that are available that have two transmitters and receivers built into one, and that is known as a full duplex radio, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. You're going to need antennas for 2 meters and 70 centimeters. We have found that generally speaking, an antenna that offers gain, such as a small Yagi, will work better than an omnidirectional antenna, but there are plenty of people that have success with omnidirectional antennas as well. You're going to need a device called a diplexer. And a diplexer basically acts as a filter that isolates the 70 centimeter signal and the 2 meter signal and keeps them separate. And what this does is this prevents your receiver to get front end overload from your transmitter because they are in such close proximity to each other. That phenomenon is known as desensitization or desense. A diplexer is also known as a duplexer. There are some technical differences between the two devices, but the satellite community tends to use the terms diplexer and duplexer in similar fashion. You're going to need tracking software. You're going to need to know when the satellite is over your horizon. So there are pieces of tracking software or smartphone apps that will tell you when a satellite is overhead. You may be able to accomplish all of this using equipment that you already have. If you have one of the small radios that covers all bands and all modes from 160 meters all the way up through 70 centimeters, such as the ICOM 7000, the Yaesu 818 or FT991s, radios like that. If you have a 2 meter 70 centimeter vertical or Yagi, you may already be able to at least listen to some of the satellites and possibly communicate through them using gear that you already have. I'm going to go over a few different styles of station that you can use to make contacts through the satellites. The first is the absolute beginner. This is what I got started with several years ago. A simple dual band HT and a handheld antenna that's called an arrow, a dual band Yagi antenna. It has three elements on 2 meters. And seven elements on 70 centimeters. Now, this station is extremely portable. I took this setup with me to London in 2018 and stood on the roof of a parking garage and was able to work some of the FM satellites very easily using that simple setup. As simple as it is, it does have some drawbacks. The main drawback is that because I'm only using one HT, I'm not able to hear my own signal through the satellite in real time. So I am operating in what is known as half duplex mode. Not being able to hear your own signal through the satellite in real time is a large detriment because you don't know for certain if you're actually making it through into the satellite. Because remember, I mentioned earlier that FM satellites, only one person can use it at a time. So if somebody beats me into the satellite before I can transmit, they're the stations that's going to be heard. So it's to your advantage if you're using FM satellites to use either a full duplex HT or two HTs so that you can monitor the satellite downlink in real time. That way you'll know for certain when you are making it into the satellite. There are plenty of people who operate the FM satellites using this. I still do this on occasion, and I have reasonable success using a station like this. So it's a good place to get started.
That concludes our first of two excerpts from a January 2021 presentation by Sean Kutzko, KX9X, covering amateur radio satellite basics as part of the St. Louis and Suburban Radio Club Winterfest 2021. We'll conclude Sean's presentation next time. The Rain Classic Hamcast is produced by its founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, twice a month. It is copyrighted 1985-2021 Rain, all rights reserved. Rain Hamcast number 40 will post on May 1st, 2021 on therainreport.com. Please remember we are still not out of the pandemic woods yet, so remember the three W's. Keep wearing your mask, keep washing your hands, and watch your social distancing. And while you're at it, keep on hamming.